Memorial Day is so full of paradoxes and contradictions. Because grief is, as we've heard from Millay, a refusal to accept the fact of death. And we heard in our lovely children's story the beauty of acceptance when somebody we love has died. Both true, both swirling together, sometimes in the very same mourner, in the same hour. And memory itself is so full of paradox and contradiction. We decide what we will remember, what we will make a holiday and a sacred occasion as a nation, or as a congregation, or as a family, or as an individual. We do that because we want, among other reasons, to root our living in the truth. We don't want to lose track of where we have been and what we have known. We want to carry the truth of the past into the future. But there, too, there is a paradox that what we remember never is quite the truth, though it may make us feel as if we're pondering the truth. Barbara Kingsolver said, memory is a relative to truth. They're never quite the same thing. And certainly research has amply, embarrassingly demonstrated how unreliable our memories are. For that matter, you don't need to be a research subject. Just try keeping a journal for a couple of days and simply set down memorable experiences or conversations, and you will quickly realize the humbling fact that memory is elusive. Two frequent reminders of what we're trying to remember, paradoxically, cause what we are trying to remember to fade into the background. Think of, well, I'm the kind of person who does this, you'll have to use your own example. I'm thinking of the notes that I put by the front door to remind me to bring things, you know? Wallet, keys, phone. Don't forget, picking up kid at 5 o'clock. You know, you can't leave those notes in the same place for days, or you'll stop seeing them. It's the nature of human consciousness, right? Of attention and memory. We're really good at noticing things that stand out, and we're really good at forgetting things that we see over and over again. This is probably very good for our sanity, but it's not always so good for our memory. And so with things like Memorial Day, there's always the risk that simply the act of remembering, the fact that we do this every year, that we know this is coming, that it is just something sitting on the calendar, maybe that will cause us to become resigned, which I think Millay would not want us to do. And then there's that very complicating fact that remembering in a political context, which is to say any context with an agenda, always tinges the memory in some way. Memorial Day itself has an agenda, of course, has many. It was, many, many towns claim the first Memorial Day celebrations, but in terms of an ongoing celebration, something that was said, we will do this every year, it seems proper to credit General John Logan of the Union Army, who established it explicitly for the Union dead in 1868. But this was already a quite, not only a political action in that it was in the context of a war and one side of a war that had just won, but because he was downright testy about it. He had heard that women in the Confederate states were decorating the graves and tombs of the Confederate fallen. Of course they were. These were their family and their neighbors. And he was good and irked. He said, we need an annual celebration of the Army of the Republic. Now, it wasn't new at all for people to decorate graves. I mean, people have been doing that probably forever, and notably vis-a-vis the Civil War, Freed blacks in Charleston did so in 1865. Black veterans led numerous Memorial Day ceremonies throughout the years of Reconstruction and afterwards. And then, of course, all these other agendas get attached. It becomes a problem for some of us that it's just, you know, it's a day off. It's a long weekend. The Indy 500 is run. It's a day for barbecuing. It's the first day of summer. And of course, it's a day for sales, sales, sales. A recent article in the Washington Post proposed one remedy for this secularization, ordinaryization of the sacred occasion. Third, the writer said, make the 2 days a paired remembrance. Other countries do something like this. A paired remembrance of the ideals of our nation. That's kind of the point, right? That's what people talk about on Memorial Day. Those who gave their lives for freedom, for equality, for justice. Okay, so we will have a day of mourning followed by a day of celebration, both dedicated to those ideals. In New England churches, I'm told, Memorial Day is an occasion for remembering all our dead. It's not military at all, or not only military. Something like what we do here at the Day of All Souls, or El Día de los Muertos. That seems culturally appropriate for California. And then there's that question of whether it's too pointed even to speak of peace on a day that we mourn the deaths of warriors. People who, in many cases, willingly went to kill and die. Some cases, people who gave their whole lives, their careers, to military action. Some may feel it's uncomfortable to talk about this as a day to dedicate to peace, although obviously Chaplain Tiger does not. And then, you know, the whole process of remembering anything at all becomes so political in a political context where we all live. I had this experience in 2002. The 1 year anniversary of September 11th, I thought was important to mark in the congregation I was then serving. One member surprised me, although I was very grateful that she spoke up, by saying how leery she was about this. She wanted to know why we were marking this date. To me, it had seemed obvious. We had reeled in grief and shock, and the year anniversary was a day to process that some more. But by then, of course, we had begun wars on two fronts, using the memory of 9/11 as an excuse or reason. And for her, that made this memorial service celebration of those wars. She wasn't wrong in saying it couldn't be separated from them in our minds. And yet nobody owns our memories. Nobody owns our grief. And for me, it was important to say, these are our memories and our grief, and different people in this room will take them in different directions. Peacemaking, war making, neither. There's the complicated issue with any holiday, any setting aside, that to remember one person or a group is to set others outside. To broaden a celebration, in contrast, can be to diminish the respect shown to the original people being celebrated. What do we do? Perhaps it should not be so, but again, that's the way memory and attention work. I felt it today, just thinking, who else could we speak about who we might remember on Memorial Day, and not wanting to disrespect the people for whom it was originally created? Although I should say that the Veterans Day, Memorial Day melding that people occasionally decry, this isn't Veterans Day, this is about remembering the dead. Veterans Day is not Memorial Day, it's about remembering the people who survived war, who served in the military, and giving them thanks. Okay, well, I just want to say that that melding has been there from the very beginning. I looked up some very early Memorial Day services, and there they were, explicitly honoring veterans, people in service, nurses, and so on. as well as marking respect for the dead. So I'm thinking about all the people we might wish to remember on Memorial Day, either because they died in war, or because they dedicated themselves, sometimes to the point of losing their lives, to helping this country to remain as free and fair and equal as we always dream it will be. So I thought maybe we could light a candle here for some of these. Non-combatants. For a very long time now, people who are not engaged in fighting have been the majority, and sometimes the overwhelming majority, of those who are maimed and killed in war. So it seems appropriate, as we pause and think about the cost of the wars, whether justified or not to our minds, not to our minds justified, that the cost includes many people who did not choose to be embroiled, but there they were. You know, non-combatants have become such a large number of the dead that it seems dishonest to say anymore that they're accidents, collateral damage that's to some extent unavoidable, even though it's lamented by all. Of course, it is to some extent unavoidable, but it also seems in many wars to be very much the purpose, to terrorize the citizens in order to pressure their governments to bend. And the blood of Guernica, Dresden, Tokyo, Kfar Aza, Be'eri, Kibbutz, Rafah shames us. These slaughters of civilians were not accidents of strategic strikes. They were partially or entirely acts of terrorism. So if we're going to remember the war dead, it does seem appropriate to lift up these names and many, many more than we can possibly even remember. And then, more joyfully, if we're hailing those who have explicitly offered their lives to protect our freedoms or to help us realize the promise of this country, then there are many that we could remember on this day. The living, of course. Maybe we need a Patriots Veterans Day. But today I'm thinking, for example, of the martyrs of civil rights, Martin Luther King and Andrew Goodman and James Chaney, Michael Schwerner, among Unitarian Universalists, Viola Liuzzo and James Reeb. So I want to light a candle for them too. That's just one struggle. But think of all the people who, outside of the setting of war, have worked to make this land what we dream of. Many of them are sitting right here, thank you. And many of them are among those that we mourn. Thank you to them too. So I'll light more candles if you care to call out any people that you are particularly thinking of, or groups of people, movements, for which I might light a candle of remembrance today, please, and I'll repeat it so everybody can hear it. Anyone in your hearts? Yes.
Protesters.
Sadly, sometimes they die. Sometimes they are killed. Happily, usually they don't. And thank you to them for practicing that freedom. Yes?
Mike Brady from Newport, New Hampshire.
Do you care to say more about him, or do you?
Died in Vietnam.
He died in Vietnam. Yes, feel free to share people that you particularly, personally know. Autry.
Aid workers.
They go into the most dangerous places to help people in times of war. Yeah, Barbara.
Victims of the Holocaust.
Victims of the Holocaust. You know, when you mark out, there's a particular day of mourning for the Holocaust, of course, and when it's marked, you can't light a candle for every victim. You can't do it. People do things like light six, a candle for each million souls. Robert.
I'm thinking John Lewis.
John Lewis. Miraculously, he survived the attack on his life, yes, as a protester, and lived a good long life. It stood to us as somebody who was willing to give it all. An inspiration. Oh, thank you. There are people in chat. I'm sorry, I'm seeing so many hands here that I'm going to call on Paula, and then I will check the ones in chat. Thank you. Excuse me? Victims of interpersonal violence. War takes many forms, doesn't it? It shouldn't be in our neighborhoods or our homes, but there it is. Thank you so much. I beg your forgiveness, those of you on Zoom. Oh my goodness. I'm going to read many names and then light a candle. My parents, Laura and Jack Schonborn, Barbara says. Frank Leslie, Pollard Jr., my uncle who died in World War II, I gather, or served in World War II, and Zay Cesar Chavez, Pete McCloskey. Ben Hammett says to my father, Buell Hammett, who died in 1945, he served our country in two world wars. That unlucky generation that was born just in time to do those, to serve both times. Thank you, thank you. That's a lot of names, and I will light the rest of our candles here. We know that for each of these, there are so many. Again, we can't name our war dead, even our Civil War dead, where it all began. But we can share these stories and remember them together. And then there's that paradox named by Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel George Tiger. I want to read to you more fullness what he wrote about for Memorial Day. Not a day goes by when something doesn't bring to my mind a young life now gone. Ghosts of what might have been are my everyday companions. I will not let them go, for I fear if I do that I will forget. I'm greeted when least expected with waves of unbidden grief, a tightness in the throat, vision blurred a bit by welling tears, a little tremor in my hand, all things that remind me that I will not forget. How many children lost? How many parents grieve? These memories, these ghosts, this is still Chaplain Tiger, are necessary reminders of the futility of war and the desperate need for peace in our worlds. The memories which come upon me, not as thoughts but as bodily sensations, have deepened my compassion and steeled my commitment to bringing peace to this suffering world. I serve in the U.S. Army. I support the readiness of those who have and will fight and win the wars our civilian leaders call us to fight. I love the people I am called to serve, knowing full well the dreadful reality we will one day face again. How then can I speak of peace? This is the difficulty of a holiday like Memorial Day. It seems to me that the paradox that's thrown into high relief by the role of a military chaplain is actually one in which we all live. We pay for war and pray for peace. We vote for officials who approve of wars, and we weep over the news reports. We mourn and we work for a better world. Contradictions leave us uncomfortable, but I think it's important not to rush to resolve them. This is where we live, in a world in which Many, perhaps most of us, think sometimes war is necessary, and in which few, if any of us, think it is really something to be glorified, think it's something that we could consider beautiful. So let us devote Memorial Day to a touch of divine discomfort, because then it might serve its highest purpose to change our hearts so that we change our lives. And so I will end with the words we heard at our centering. Memorial Day is not to be celebrated, it is to be observed, scrutinized, and witnessed on behalf of the true witnesses of our human failure to love our neighbor as ourselves. They are ghosts now, haunting lives with the gift of remembrance so that we will not forget their living. But even more, that the grief of remembering will create in us a yearning for peace that will stir us to action. So may it be.